You guys, we're going to look at a passage today in Daniel chapter 3. I'm just going to be honest and upfront. This guy up here is really spent. I love my brother Russ, and my heart breaks today, so you guys just bear with me. Those of you who are believers, go ahead and pray for this old preacher and let the word come that we need to hear from the Lord. In Daniel chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, Scripture says this: Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego answered, and they said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Now, I know there are a lot of different takes on Russ here today. This is what I always love about these kind of things, is you have so many different perspectives. Russ was a dad, and he was a grandpa. He was a brother and a friend. He was a mechanic, a musician, and even a writer. He loved old rock and roll and country gospel. He was a Philadelphia Flyers man, and he still loved his Hallmark Channel sappy romance movies. He was definitely a complex man. I've only known Russ for a year, a little over a year. But in that year, he closed every Sunday service right here from this pulpit with announcements and then asked someone to lead us in prayer. He cooked for many, if not most, Wednesday night meals that we had back there. We've studied the scriptures together every Sunday morning and every Sunday and every Wednesday. And not like just a few times in a few months. I'm saying like 50 out of 52 times this last year, Russ and I have gathered together. That's how faithful that he was. We prayed together. We've laughed a lot. We've planned services. We've sang together. Russ even brought his guitar up to my house in my little daughter's room. We played guitar and planned some things out there. We've done life together this year in many ways. And that's what church people do when they're a family. He didn't just show up on the main service on Sunday once in a while. He was a part of this church. Such a huge impact on so many. So today, in some ways, today is easy for me because Russ loved Jesus and he wanted everybody else around him to know Jesus and love Jesus like he did. And I have absolutely complete confidence that Russ is with Christ and that those who are in Christ will one day see him again. Amen? Now, I'll share a little more about this in a moment. But in some ways today, his passing is really hard for me and maybe for some of you as well. But a scripture that Russ kind of hit on, it hit home with me, and I've tried to think about what I should share today, and I haven't been able to escape this passage right here in Daniel chapter 3. So let's think about this just for a minute. Let's go back a few thousand years and kind of get the scene for a second, just in case you aren't familiar. These three Hebrew boys that I read their names, they got taken out of their homeland, their native land. They actually start making their way up the corporate ladder in the foreign world. And some of the homegrown boys are a little bit jealous, you can imagine, right? Wait a minute, what are these Jews doing taking our spots? Why are they taking our jobs? Well, the king, his name is Nebuchadnezzar, he's borderline crazy. He decides to build this really tall, really skinny statue of gold. It's 90 feet tall and 9 feet wide. Now, probably a lot of that was actually a pedestal. But he wants that idol to be worshipped. In reality, I think King Nebuchadnezzar wanted to be worshipped. You can find all this in Daniel chapter 3. He basically wants everybody to bow down to a statue whenever they hear the music play. And everybody does, except for these three Hebrew boys. Well, the other guys are around. They were watching. And it's kind of like, you know how it is, that when you tell your kids to pray and close their eyes and everybody keeps an eye open to see who's not got their eyes closed. That's what was going on here, okay? There's a few guys that are supposed to be bowing down, and they're kind of bowing down, looking around, seeing who's still standing up. And they catch that the three Hebrew boys are standing up, and so they kind of rat them out. Now, since the king has some respect for them, he decides not to kill them right away. He's going to be merciful. He's going to give them another chance. But if they don't follow through, you know what's going to happen? They're going to be burned up. Again, King Nebuchadnezzar didn't mess around. Well, here's the king's response to their disobedience down in verse 13. The Bible says, furious with rage, Nebuchadnezzar summoned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And so these men were brought before the king, and Nebuchadnezzar said to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the image of gold I have set up? Now when you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the zither, the lyre, the harp, the pipes, and all kinds of music, if you are ready to fall down and worship the image I have made, very good. But if you do not worship it, you will be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace." And notice what he says. He then says, "Then what God will be able to rescue you from my hand?" Do you see the challenge? What God is going to rescue you from my hand? I'm the mighty Nebuchadnezzar. King Nebuchadnezzar already knows why they didn't bow down. They think their God is stronger than his God. Well, I don't hate to ruin the ending for you, but I'm going to, okay? Long story short, they don't bow. He throws them in a furnace, kills some strong guards as they get tossed in the process. They're free in the fire. There's a fourth man in the fire. They come out without even the smell of smoke on their clothes. Then the king all of a sudden sends out an edict and says that anybody who says anything bad against the God of the three Hebrew boys will be cut up and their house burned. He's quite the motivational speaker, isn't he? Basically, the three Hebrew boys win, the Israel wins, God delivers. Happy ending all around, right? Sounds great. Except for this one phrase that keeps haunting me all the time. Even if he does not. What? Did you catch that earlier? You see, right after the king says he's going to burn up the boys if they don't bow down, the boys say something back to the king. Here's what they say, verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we're thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it, and he will rescue us from your hand, O king." All right, I'm good with that, right? Aren't you? Yeah, we'll show you our God is stronger than your God. Our God is able to deliver us, and he will rescue us. See, we told you our God is bigger than yours. That's pretty amazing faith, right? We can endure the pressure, the mocking, even the fire, because we know our God is able and he will rescue. But that's not all they said. You hear their voice? This is what Russ reminded us one day during a Sunday morning Sunday school session. Verse 18, they said this. "But even if he does not." What? What's this "even if he does not" stuff? I mean, where's their faith? Don't they think God can deliver? Don't they think God will deliver? Are they all of a sudden showing fear? Are they trying to hedge their bets? What's this "even if he does not"? Think again about what they're saying in verse 18. "But even if he does not, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up." Now listen to what the king says when it's all said and done. Verse 28, Nebuchadnezzar said, "Praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and rescued his servants. They trusted in him and defied the king's command." And listen close. "They were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own." They were willing to give up their lives. This is not weak faith, people. Is it? That's the strongest faith of all, isn't it? They believed so strongly that they would honor their God no matter what the cost. They counted up the cost. "We know that this may be our end. We know you may throw us in the fire. We know that may be the end of us, but that's okay because we serve the one true God. And his way is truth and his way is right. And ultimately, he will honor us as we try to magnify him." Wow. That is faith. Here's the thing. I want you to think about this with me today. Maybe the Hebrew boys thought this way a little bit too. We don't just follow God when things are going well. Again, think from their perspective. Good night. We've been taken from our homeland, separated from our family, forced to learn new languages and culture. It's not been easy. But we follow him because he is the one true God and there is no other. We follow him because he is the truth. Or as Jesus said, as we read just earlier, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me." We follow him because he is ultimately for our good and for his glory. Because his ways are higher than our ways. Because he definitely knows better than us. And that is faith. That is truly trusting in an almighty God. And it's the same faith that allowed Russ to say, "I'll praise him in the sun and I'll praise him in the storm." And I heard him say it more than once. That's the kind of faith that Russ had. In the middle of severe trial and suffering. I'm going to say in some ways, Russ was a lot like those Hebrew boys. Maybe here's Russ's perspective a little bit. I've got cancer, and it's bad. It's really bad. The chemo's poisoning me. My body won't drain the fluid like it should. I can't hardly eat anything. Nothing tastes good. I'm losing muscle every day. But my God, he's able to deliver. I know he can remove the cancer. I know he can have me regain the muscle. I know he can bring back my appetite. He is able to deliver, but even if he does not, I'm going to praise him. And that's faith, people. That's faith. That what is ahead and what is in store is greater than what is here. And I'm going to tell you that I don't know if I'm there. But I know my brother Russ, he found that place with the Lord. Even if he does not, I'm going to praise him. Again, that's faith at a level that I can know in my head. But only until trial and suffering come into my life can I find out if it's really in my heart. Russ believed and faced the even if he does not reality that the Hebrew boys spoke about. He lived it and he passed the test. He honored his God even in the storm. Whew. Now please don't get me wrong today. In some ways, I don't want you to mourn for Russ because he didn't get delivered, because he absolutely did. Russ's lungs are working really good right now. There's no fluid on his abdomen. There's no more chemotherapy. He is in the presence of his Lord because he honored him, and he decided that even if he does not deliver here, he would still not bow down. He would praise him in the storm. And in that respect, he's doing a lot better than you and me right now. He's in the very presence of Christ. But I think Russ would want me to share this with you today. And so here's what I have you to think about today. How will you handle the trials and suffering that come your way? My wife and I, and now my daughter's this way too, we know everybody's got a story. Have you realized that? Just go sit down with somebody and listen. Everybody in this room has a story of suffering or trial that you probably couldn't even comprehend. And if you haven't yet, guess what? It's coming your way. That's a real cheery thing to tell you, right? But the question is, how are you going to deal with it? How are you going to handle it when it comes your way? What are you going to do? Even as you heard in the song that Russ wrote, he's a different person now because he had repented of his sins and trusted in Christ. He can say, even if he does not. So this is the decision before you today. You can bow down to the God of this world, or you can refuse to bow down and stand with the sovereign creator of the universe. And yes, it is absolutely a decision of faith. But if the scriptures are true, are you hearing me? If the Bible is true, and I definitely believe that it is, those who repent and trust in the Lord, those who say, even if he does not, they have an eternal reward. So the question I'm putting before you today is, are you only going to live for what you can see and feel and taste and touch in the here and now, or are you willing to believe that the God of all creation sent his only begotten Son in the world to hang on a tree that you might be forgiven and then ultimately resurrected even after he was, after 3 days? You see, the world says this is crazy thinking. What? Jesus, that's a crutch. Are you kidding me? If Russ, his voice was projected right now, he would tell you so clearly right now that more than anything in this world, he would want you to find Christ and pursue him. I know that because I have fellowshiped with him for the past year. Again, the world thinks this is crazy. But people like the three Hebrew boys, like Peter and John and Paul when they were thrown in jail, like Stephen when he was stoned for preaching the gospel, and especially people like Russell Dillard, they remind us, even if he does not, it's worth it. It's so worth it because they're looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. They've grabbed hold of this truth that this ain't it. Do you believe that? That's hard stuff, isn't it? This isn't it. If the scriptures are true, there's so much beyond 52 or 60 or 70 or 90 or even 120 years. This ain't it. There's so much in store for those who will trust Christ. So the question again today is, will you trust him? After Russ's first chemo treatment, he got really, really sick. I know you guys remember that, right? I mean, it was bad. He was having some crazy dreams. And he was really just questioning a lot of different things. And who wouldn't be, right? I mean, he was scared and nervous and sick and wondered what was going on. And I went and sat down with him in his room one Saturday morning, and we talked for a while. And we started sharing different things and different scriptures, and he was doing something in Romans. I went over to Romans chapter 8, and we read this passage I'm about to read to you right now, and I think we were both pretty much crying. I like Hallmark Channel too, I'll admit it, okay? And the Lord was working in our hearts. And I want to read this to you, and I want you to think about it even as it would apply to Russ, and as it apply to you even today. This is what Paul writes in Romans chapter 8, 31. He says, "What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered." But verse 37 says, "No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us." Listen up, he says, "For I am convinced that neither death," did you hear me? "I'm convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, nor the present, nor the future, nor any powers, neither height, nor depth, nor anything in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." You know what? The next time I saw Russ, he wouldn't have any more bad dreams. And he told me he was ready. That's some amazing faith, isn't it? Russ rested in this truth that there was nothing, not even death, that could separate him from the love of Christ. And today I hope that you can be encouraged by that same thing. What about you? Do you know Christ today? Can you say, even if he does not? You guys all along know how great a speaker Russ was. And we figured that Russ would be healed and he would be speaking about his healing. But I think the truth is pretty obvious that Russ is speaking to us today. He's a lot like Abel in that way. In Hebrews 11:4, the Bible says, "By faith Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. And by faith he was commended as righteous when God spoke well of his offerings." And listen to this. "And by faith Abel still speaks even though he's dead." And today Russ is definitely speaking. His life and his faith are speaking now. And they are a challenge to us to decide if we're going to pursue Christ in faith or if we're going to bow down to this world. The choice is yours. Today my prayer is, may God bless the family and friends of our faithful brother, and may he use us all for his own glory and for our joy. Let's pray together. Father, today we are so thankful for a life well lived, a life that demonstrates change and your power in that change. God, we thank you for Russ's testimony, Lord, for his laughter and his joking, for his faithfulness, for his abilities and skills to write and to sing, to work on cars, to help fix things, to cook. Lord, what an amazing person that you allowed to be a part of our lives. So we say thank you for him today. And then, Lord, today we pray for grace for us. Lord, we know that ahead of us there is probably suffering and trial. And Lord, I pray that you would be able for us to deal with those situations even as Russ did. But when the difficult times come, Lord, that we could trust you no matter what the circumstances. So we pray that you would increase our faith and our love for you and for those that you place in our life. Again, Lord, today we just want to thank you so much for all the love that has surrounded the Dillard family. We thank you for the friends that have come today and shared their kindness and their gracious words and their hugs and kisses and love. Lord, we thank you for so much for them today. We just ask for your sustaining grace to rest upon all of Russ's family, to hold them close in the days and weeks and even months ahead. And Lord, let us, as a group of people gathered here today, continue to reach into their lives, to give them a call, to send them a text, to touch base even on Facebook and say, "We love you. Can we help you? We want to take care of you." And Lord, let it really matter to them. Again, Lord, thank you so much for your word. And most of all, thank you for your precious son that you sent to us to die and to rise again, that we might be healed ultimately and delivered and have a city, Lord, that lasts forever. Again, Lord, we love you this so much today, and it's in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.